Hi, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Staltari and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. If this is a return visit, I welcome you back. If this is your first time, just to let you know what we're doing here. Right now we're focusing on a series which is near and dear to my heart called Les Filles du Roi, The King's Daughters. I started out by just doing my own and it kind of expanded and grew. And now I'm just kind of exploring each and every one of them. So every episode we are taking Fille du Roi and profiling her and giving her the homage, the honor that she deserves. Before we proceed, let me make sure I let you know that I do have a website called Have Roots Will Travel and a Twitter account, Facebook, all that good stuff. Also, please feel free to subscribe, like this video, get notified when I post new content, which is about every week, actually. And I would be thrilled and delighted if you wanted to share your Fille du Roi and kind of give me an insight into maybe I can do yours. So yeah, let me know if you want a Fille du Roi done that hasn't been done. She may already be on my list, but if not, I certainly will put her on mine. Let's get started, shall we? For those of you returning to the series, you are aware that this is a program started in 1663 by the Intendant of New France, Jean Tanneau. I go into this in great detail in the video I produce called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0. Please have a look at that series, that program. It's on this channel. And it'll give you a kind of a bird's eye view of the ins and outs of the program, how the girls were recruited, how they made this trek from France to New France. And it'll give you a much better perspective of what they had to go through in order to do what they needed to do. With that being said, let's get started and have a look at the next feature while we're profiling. Her name was Marie-Charlotte Roussel. She's actually not my great-grandmother. She's the great-grandmother of a work colleague of mine who, again, did not know that she was a descendant of Les Filles du Roi. This one is really dramatic, and I'm really glad I got the opportunity to explore her life. Let's get started. So Charlotte was born in 1646 in the parish of Notre-Dame-la-Ronde in a town called Evreux, which is found in Normandy, France. Her parents were Thomas Roussel and Barbe Poisson. Evreux is a commune, which is a township, and the capital of the department of Eure in the French region of Normandy. It has about 46,000 people living there. It is one of the most historic histories that we have seen so far. It is said that Julius Caesar wintered here with some of his troops. The church where Charlotte would have been baptized no longer exists, but I have included illustrations of it. So you can see the round top. Notre Dame la Ronde means of the round Notre Dame, which this church was famous for. You can see the red circle where I indicate where Evreux is situated. It is the seat of a bishop and its cathedral is one of the largest and finest in France. In 1119, when the town was burned by Henry I of France and continued to be a site of conflicts for the next few centuries. And that, as a matter of fact, the Second World War also destroyed many parts of this town. As did many towns in the region of Normandy. And its cathedral suffered greatly even then. In the older parts of Evreux, the remains of Roman life can be found, including a theater, a palace, baths, and an aqueduct, along with many other artifacts. So she comes from a very, very, you know, old part of France, had that history with her, coming to a new land. So what made Charlotte leave? Well, she lost both parents at the age of 22 and she was recruited to be a Fille du Roi. Obviously she accepted. The ship she was on had 81 total Fille du Roi. We have featured at least 12 of them, including Françoise Aubé, number 7, Marie-Madeleine Philippe, number 6, Michel Wainville, number 10, among others. Charlotte was the first one who went to Montreal that we have featured. So let's have a look. So the girls who went on to Montreal were housed in a place, most of them were housed in a place called Maison Saint-Gabriel. And so they either went from Quebec City to Three Rivers and then Montreal, which was really the last frontier. It was a very, you know, still growing place. It didn't have a lot of history to it. Marguerite Bourgeois, I need to talk to you about Marguerite Bourgeois. She was the founder of the Congregation de Notre Dame Church in Montreal. She was by far the most influential woman in Quebec and certainly Montreal's history. She was born in France in 1620. And in 1663, at the age of 33, she was invited to come to New France and establish a religious congregation and school by Paul de Chomedey, who was the Sieur de Maisonneuve, the governor of the French settlement of Montreal. The governor allowed her to use his stable as the first schoolhouse, and this in turn became the first public school in Montreal. By 1663, she continued her work with the Filles du Roi by using the farm she purchased on Point Saint-Charles to feed the poor and create a source of revenue for the church. The Filles du Roi would come here and receive instruction on their new lives, including cooking and sewing, and the sisters would oversee the selection of the husbands. Marguerite would continue until her death, creating educational and religious institutions that would help the struggling town of Ville-Marie, which would become one day the mighty Montreal. Marguerite Bourgeois was made a saint in 1982. She was the first Canadian woman to be canonized. Just amazing history. And you can tour. The Maison Saint-Gabriel is a museum. So please, again, it's on my bucket list. If you're in Montreal, this is the place to go. So who was this groom that selected Marie-Charlotte? And who she selected, and who the nuns let her pick. Paul Gaultier de Saguenay-Gara, I hope I'm saying that right. He was born in 1629 in the parish of Saint-Gilles, Echela, Florence. His parents were Jacques Gaultier and Marie Boucher. He arrived in Canada about 1667-68. Echela, which I've circled, is a small village whose history dates back to prehistoric times and then into the Gallo-Roman period. It was part of the larger city of Rochefort. The church was built in the 12th century on remains of the 9th century. The Church of Echela is one of the masterpieces of Saint-Ange and Romanesque art, it is said. And then I put a picture here on the bottom right. It's a rare transporter bridge that is found in Echela. It was built in 1900 and is actually the last one in France and one of the 8 left in the world. And then on the bottom left, I just have a lovely picture of the countryside because I just think it's beautiful. So Charlotte married Pierre on November 12, 1668 at the Notre Dame Cathedral. I just want to make, I've forgotten the previous section. His did name, which is a really more than likely a native one, was probably given to him because he arrived in Quebec in 1667. It is said that he may have been an interpreter and he may have been someone who corresponded and was able to speak the language. And so I think that was a name that was given to him based on his occupation and what he was doing and that sort of thing, just in case you had any questions. So now we find ourselves in a brand new section that we have not explored. It's Lachine. You can see that Lachine is just off right here on the in the circle that I have included. The original owner of Lachine was a man named Robert Cavalier de La Salle, and his mission was to cultivate and colonize this area. Unfortunately, he didn't succeed as he was too focused on trying to find a passage to Asia. This area was originally named Saint-Sulpice, but the area was renamed Lachine as a kind of inside joke. Even Jacques Cartier, 100 years before, he'd been trying to find that passageway and named the rapids themselves Lachine Rapids. Eventually, the Lachine Canal was completed in 1825, which was something the citizens and merchants had long wanted. It became a way to navigate those treacherous rapids. At its peak, the Lachine Canal would have 15,000 ships use its canal yearly. So you can see the canal. This bottom screen is the museum that you can go in and check out the Lachine history and all that we will be talking about. But essentially, it was a very, very primitive area of Quebec, of Montreal. And certainly, Pierre Gaultier was one of the very, very first settlers. So, you know, Pierre and Charlotte went about creating a family, and they were doing quite well. Jean was born in 1669. I don't have a death date for him, but he did marry a native woman named Marguerite and had at least one child who lived to adulthood. He would become a voyageur and would spend a great deal of time in Detroit. Then we have Joseph, the second son, married Clément Géry and had one son who lived to adulthood. He then married Marie Fortier and had nine children, five of whom made it to adulthood. Jean-Baptiste married Marie Presseau and had six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. And then we have Anne Joseph, who married Jacques-Denis Saint-Denis and had 13 children, eight of whom made it to adulthood. Pierre married Marie Bonneau de Le Chaume and had eight children, none of whom unfortunately made it to adulthood. I have never seen that before. It's very, very sad. Claude married Françoise Gagné and had eight children, five of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Joseph married Alexandre Turpin and had one child who made it to adulthood, and then married Joseph Poirier dit Deloge and had eight children, all of whom made it to adulthood. François married Marie-Françoise Nercon and had three children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Pierre and Charlotte's life would take a tragic turn on August 5th, 1689, as they became victims of the Vachine Massacre. On one rainy morning of August 5th, 1689, 1,500 Iroquois warriors used surprise to launch, an attack against a truly undefended settlement of Vachine. There was about 300 people living there, and they were completely unarmed. Pierre and Charlotte somehow managed to shield their children from capture, but they themselves were captured. They were not heard from again, and so in 1691, a guardian was appointed for the minor children. So far, we don't know what happened to them. Pierre Gaultier would miraculously reappear sometime during the 1690s. He would be present at the wedding of his son Joseph, ironically 10 years almost to the day, August 16, 1699, then from the massacre. In that document, it is stated that Charlotte is deceased. It's presumed that Charlotte was killed by the natives and her body was never found. Pierre would live another 4 years before dying, possibly of yellow fever. He is buried at the Lachine Cemetery, we presume. While I was researching this, I was privileged enough to come into contact with the author of this book, Tom Gaultier, a direct descendant, I believe of Jean-Baptiste, actually, and that line. And he introduced me to the book that he had written, and I bought it, and it's fabulous. It's historical fiction, so it's based on history. He takes some liberties, but I think it's a fascinating read. I would recommend it highly. I put the link to Amazon for you to have a look and purchase if that's something you want to do. Really, really a good read. And the legacy of this family lives on. There is an association called the Famille Gaultier de Marais, who are actually hosting a 30th anniversary this year at the end of August in Lac Saint-Jean. And if you happen to be in that area, the website is amazing as well. So that'll give you some resources. Remember that the Gaultier name is, there are several lines of Gaultiers, but they all honor this particular family name. So that's definitely a place to start with. I also, in my research in Lachine, discovered that there is a street named after the incredible Pierre Gaultier. So he is honored in the city of Lachine as one of the founding fathers. So that's kind of really neat as well. And so ends another incredible story of Les Filles du Roi. This one was truly tragic, probably the most tragic that I've seen thus far. Charlotte had to, lose her life, but she gave us the great gift of her descendants and their history, and her sacrifice will not go unnoticed. Certainly we need to make sure that we remember how much they sacrificed for us, as we take in the heritage that we receive. So with that being said, I will bid you adieu and say au revoir until the next episode, when we will look at another Filles du Roi. Bye for now.